And it's halftime here at the College of New Jersey with Colts Neck leading Brick 7-6. Halftime brought to you by Mulberry Street on Brick Boulevard in Brick. More than an Italian specialty market, it's also a bakery and pasta shop, meat department, deli caterer, and pizzeria all rolled into one, and it all sounds so good. Mulberry Street, your neighborhood Italian street plaza.
Difference right now in the football game is a missed extra point from Brick, as both quarterbacks have scored on the ground here today. Christian Sanchez with a 48-yard run. That came at the 8:45 mark in the second quarter. With the extra point, Colts Neck leading 7-0 on the ensuing drive. Brick able to answer back on a 5-yard touchdown run from Carmen Sclafani. That extra point missed, however, at the 5:47 mark. 7-6 is where we sit right now, Kevin. I think we all assumed it would be certainly a tight and entertaining ball game, and I would say up until this point, the hype has lived up to the football game.
I would say so, Matt. I think both defenses have played very well. Brick has done a terrific job focusing on Gargiulo and shutting him down. But as Ed said, Christian Sanchez has been the difference and has really made up a lot of that. And on the other side, I think Colts Neck has done a pretty good job of taking Fattoruso away. But Sclafani has been able to make some plays both with his legs and with his arm. A big fourth down completion to Drew Scott that set up that touchdown that would have tied it if not for the missed extra point. Speaking of Ed, he joins us up here in the press box.
I never do this, guys.
You wanted to warm up a little bit.
I did want to warm up. It got, I tell you, the temperature probably dropped about 10 degrees once it got completely dark here and wind kicking up a little bit, but it is cold down there and don't know how Sclafani is doing it without gloves on at all, at least on one of the hands. But he seems to be throwing the ball pretty well, and I think they're going to have to do that a little bit more, Matt, because I think they've done a pretty nice job on the ground game of Bricks.
And you know, Ed, maybe as Kevin had just talked about in terms of the ground attacks for both of these teams, 7-6 might be not the sexiest game in terms of score with a lot of points, but we have seen both defenses play very, very well.
Oh, I totally agree, and it's not what I expected. I'd be the first to admit that. I thought there'd be some scoring in this football game. You know, I thought the running backs and the ground games on both teams were just too good to stop. But, you know, Gargiulo, they've done a fantastic job. I think they've held him to about 30 yards rushing in the first half. By the way, guys, the extra point, I did get a chance to quickly ask the official. I can't believe what he told me, but he did. He said he thought the ball was too high, and he said it was wide left. That's what he told me. Crazy,
well,
huh?
That right now, the difference in the football game.
That's why I bring it up, because obviously those missed extra points will come back and haunt you, and that certainly you know, can happen in this football game, 7-6.
If it was wide left, it was wide left by about 6 inches.
Yeah, not much. I mean, it looks good from here, and we don't have the best of angles.
Exactly. We don't have a great angle, but usually you can get a sense. From here, it almost looked like it was dead down the middle, to be honest
with
you.
I'm obviously a little closer, but I'm at field level. To me, it looked like it was dead down the middle.
Yeah.
So obviously it was a little left. He couldn't have been that off. But when he told me about the height, I started to get a little leery of the decision. But anyway, it goes in the book as a missed extra point, and let's see what happens in the second half.
Well, certainly something to keep an eye on. The only other game going on right now involving a short conference team, the South Jersey Group 3 final, that's also reached the half. Delcy leading Barnegat by a score of 17-0. We'll step out here and take a quick 60-second timeout. When we come back, Ed with his choice of a whole host of characters here on Press Row. What do you mean? Well, you're throwing your hands up. That's your time to shine. I want to see what you can come and put together here. We'll back in 60 seconds. Colts Neck 7, Brick 6. Back right after this with more on the Shore Sports Network.
And we're back at TCNJ after a short break. Today's game, and really our presenting sponsor all season long of high school football, has been Sonny's Recycling and Wear Tent. If it's around your house or construction site, turn it into cash. Always the highest price paid. No item too big or too small at Sonny's Recycling. By the way, I got word this week. Guys at Sonny's were very upset that I had picked against Barnegat. You know, down in Southern Ocean County where they are. And, fellas, I would just say that 17-0 Delcy at half. Sometimes you have to pick with your head and not your heart.
So we'll have a potential new presenting sponsor. You've blown it for us.
We'll be recycling our sponsor.
We, of course, appreciate all of our sponsors during the course of our sports programming. It is at the half right now at TCNJ, Central Jersey Group 4 Final. It is number 3, Colts Neck, leading number 1, Brick, 7-6. He's moved to the second level. Let's see what Ed Saraluca has come up with.
Well, I am with our partner, Scott Stump. Scott joined me down on the field down there. Getting pretty cold down there, Scott. Of course, you've enjoyed the first two games up here.
Yeah, it was kind of comfy in the booth having to go out in the elements. It's getting pretty cold out there. And, I mean, it doesn't seem to really be affecting anything in the passing game, which sometimes can happen. But, the wind and the cold is definitely noticeable.
Guys, Scott, who looked very dapper in his suit for the TV gig on Verizon, gave us a little insight. He does have the long johns on under the suit pants, right?
I come prepared. I'm not new to this. I'm a veteran. I knew what I'm doing. I was doing double duty, so I was ready.
Okay, let's talk about this football game now. Surprised that Fattoruso's been shut down and Gargiulo, for the most part, been shut down.
Yeah, and I mean, it's clear that Colts Neck knew that Brick would be so focused on Gargiulo. They've run a lot of option stuff with Christian Sanchez, you know, some zone read, and Sanchez was 68 yards rushing in the first half. Obviously, much of that coming on the touchdown run, but he has hurt Brick, and it's clear that he's going to be a major factor in this game. You can't think that Gargiulo will be held down for two halves. So, you know, a lot of this game seems to be a war of attrition up front. Both teams leaning on each other, which line is going to get the other one to break. You know, Fattoruso, I think in that offense, they kind of take what they give him. You know, that's really up to Carmen Sclafani's reads of whether he's going to be giving it to Fattoruso or not. So right now they seem to be keyed in on him. And I think what Colts' next main thing seems to be defensively is they want to keep Carmen Sclafani bracketed in the pocket and make him a pocket passer, you know, negate his ability to make plays outside the pocket and run the ball.
And he has thrown the ball fairly well in that first half.
Yeah, he made some nice throws. And, I mean, a few were just off the mark. But overall, I mean, he's kept them right in it. And it was a great job by them to come right back and answer the first score by Colts Neck. You know, obviously the extra point just off the mark. But, you know, that was a good sign for them. And you got to punch back in a state final game.
The situation defensively, both teams playing very well. I think the cold is a little factor here. How about the extra point? I mean, you know, the referee, as I mentioned to our guys when I came back up here, told me it was a little high and just a little bit to the left. I know you said that it looked a little borderline left. I thought it was right down the middle, as a lot of other people did.
Yeah, I was standing right down near there, and it looked just, I put it this way, I was not shocked when they came out and said that it was no good.
You know, a lot of times, you know, a missed extra point, who cares? But when it's a 7-6 game, you know, it becomes a very big play.
Absolutely, because then, you know, there could be a point in this game where Brick could have, you know, a big two-point conversion they got to go to, things like that. It seems like both offenses at least started to come alive a little bit more in that second quarter. So it might get even more wide open scoring-wise in the second half.
You know, Brick got a couple of lucky bounces right off the bat in that beginning of that first quarter. Dropped the ball twice, but recovered both of them. Usually games like this that are this tight usually comes down to that key turnover in the second half.
Yeah, that was a good job to get those fumbles back, because especially where they occurred, it would have given Colts Neck a great position for their offense to go to work. And, and obviously a good job by the Brick special teams. You know, they get the blocked field goal down there near the end of the half. That's big to keep it to just a one-point game. So, you know, both of these teams are – it's kind of what I expected, except maybe a little lower scoring than I expected. But I thought these teams were very even on paper. So this is not surprising at all.
Point Pleasant Beach, what a great story.
I was trying to think if there's ever been an example in state history of where – obviously there's teams that have come back and beat, but closed a 31-point gap in an 8-day span. I mean – John Wagner's adjustments with the six-man front on defense and, you know, some little wrinkles on offense. Jake Fioretti really stepped up, I thought. Both sides of the ball made some nice runs. And then, obviously, Big Joe Wagriniak, the fullback, 20 yards last week, 139 today. Terrific performance by him. You know, so happy for that team just because, you know, the first time they've ever won a state championship, you got to feel good for them. the tough one for sure, regional. I mean, they fought right to the end. But, yeah, I mean, it's amazing because I think everybody thought last year's Point Beach team was the one that was going to do it. They were a juggernaut, 10-0, mowing over everyone. And then they were shocked by Florence. And they thought, oh, they're going to graduate that backfield. They might take a step back. What do? They come back and win the whole thing.
You know, let's talk about the job that John Wagner has done in 3 years. You know, 22 years up at Roselle Park, took 3 years off, got the itch again, heard about the opening at Point Pleasant Beach, said, let me put my name in back in the ranks and see if I could do a little bit more coaching. What a tremendous job. I believe he's 28-6 in his career, three-year career at Beach, and a program that was pretty dormant before him.
Yeah, the entire decade before he showed up, they had 17 total wins, and they've knocked out 28 in 3 years. So the guy knows Group 1 football inside and out. He has a great system with that wing tee. He drills the players to the point where it's like second nature, and he has experience in these big games. And I think that showed today, too, that, you know, he knew that just that first half was not going to be enough. They kept making a few more adjustments, you know, and I talked to him the other day, and he said they were going to bring a lot more pressure against Matt Mew in this game, which they did a tremendous job of. What a godsend that the fact that he had a house down there in the Point Beach area for that school to bring him in.
You know, you made a great point when you said that he knows Group 1 football. Roselle Park, a small school up in central Jersey. But he came down here, he knows how to treat these kids. He knows when to get them a little time off because, let's face it, Group 1, most of the kids go both ways.
And he knows what systems will work and will not. You know, it's hard to run a wide-open spread system unless you have a deep roster of receivers and a quarterback. And he knows, okay, if I can get myself just a bunch of big linemen, a couple punishing backs, and a solid defensive front, we can go a long way with that, and they've proved it.
Well, another 11-1, well, an 11-1 season coming off of a 10-1 season. Tremendous back-to-back seasons for Point Pleasant Beach and Coach John Wagner, and a very emotional John Wagner. I don't know if you got a chance to talk to him after the game, but when I interviewed him, he was somewhat crying and very emotional. He just felt so good for what's happened to this town of Point Pleasant Beach over the course of the last year with Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah, I think that's really the thing. They went through so much, and you think of a kid like Tommy D'Amore, one of their starting linemen, lost his house in the storm, destroyed. So, I mean, moments like this to someone who's been through all that, it just has to be so rewarding to have stuck with it and so have this uplifting moment after the lows of seeing their community ravaged last year.
And the Strunkest story, you know, 31 years, you know, almost to the day when they lost in the finals, you know, his dad as an outstanding quarterback at Point Pleasant Beach, and the son comes back and wins a championship. And his comments after the game about this is for both of us, very touching.
And he also kind of made the joke. He said, all right, we can stop talking about Paul Strunchis on the 1982 team, and we can start talking about Sean Strunchis on the 2013 team who won.
Scott, great job, and thanks all year for joining us. And we'll get together Monday and talk about an all-shore team, huh?
Yeah, I hope you got a lot of free time. There'll be a lot of empty pizza boxes and a lot of hair falling out in clumps.
Scott Stumpf from the Shore Sports Network. Kevin?
Thank you, guys. Nice job, Ed. Thank you, Scott. And, indeed, I will tell our listeners that sometime late next week, I would expect it'll probably be Friday, ShoreSportsNetwork.com, we'll reveal our all-shore teams and our players and coaches of the year, all that stuff. We'll be working on that this week, and certainly that'll be the capper on what has been a long and very exciting high school football season. And then starting next week, ShoreSportsNetwork.com will move from football and soccer. We'll complete the transition to the winter season, basketball and wrestling. Those will be the two featured sports we will cover online over these next few months.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. If you haven't checked out our new website since the partnership with All Shore Media, now all under the Shore Sports Network heading, you should do so at ShoreSportsNetwork.com. The clock winding down here at the half. The team should be making their way back on. They'll have the 3 minutes put up on the board. So with that, we're going to take a three-minute timeout. We're back right after this quick break with Colts Neck leading Brick by a score of 7-6. You're listening to the Central Jersey Group 4 Final on the Shore Sports Network.